What does the suit basically allege?
The lawsuit alleges that the FBI surveilled Yasir Afifi without a warrant, and specifically that they placed a GPS tracking device on his car, violating his Fourth Amendment right to be free from an unreasonable search without a warrant. And that stems from the complaint that we received from Mr. Afifi last fall.
Why has it taken this long to file the suit?
So we look at our civil rights cases from several different perspectives, that there are different methods of advocating around civil rights issues. One of them, of course, is public sentiment. And so one of the first things that we did was we wanted to make sure that the story got out and that people knew that these were the types of civil rights violations that law enforcement was engaging in. And then the other thing that we did immediately was file a Freedom of Information Act request in Mr. Afifi's name. And we wanted to sort of parse out what exactly happened, collect as much information as possible before deciding on next steps. The Freedom of Information Act request, we received only a partial response to, and I think what happened after the response is actually more troubling, is that we received the file, or part of the file, from the FBI, and then that same day, this is now in late January, we received a call from the FBI expressing interest in meeting with Mr. Afifi again, and this is despite the fact that they'd surveilled him for some time and that they had already interrogated him. And so the reason that we want to make sure that the reason we're asking the court to bar the FBI from doing this to Mr. Afifi again is because we're specifically concerned that they continue to express an interest in him and are continually reaching out to him to try to engage him in interrogations.
Now, what they would say is we have a right, we're the FBI, we have a right to be interested in whoever we want to be interested in, right? So what's the response to that?
Right, and so the response to that is that they had contacted Mr. Afifi some time before he discovered the GPS tracking device on his car, and at that time he'd said, I'm happy to cooperate with you. All I'd like is that my attorney be present. And the FBI essentially said, never mind. And that's a concern because you're right. The FBI has the authority to investigate credible threats. But when they engage in practices like this, when they undermine individuals who are willing to cooperate by violating their constitutional rights, we're none the safer. And that's a real concern because they're undermining trust in the community. And we know that community policing is a more effective method of actually combating crime than illegal surveillance.
Now, I know that when Mina did this story, she found there was another guy, too, who said, oh, hey, I found one of these on my car as well. Do you have any sense of how common this is?
So we know of approximately four other cases like this across the country, and those are just individuals that fit the Arab, Muslim, South Asian profile, but also that have come forward. And so there's different ways of approaching it. First and foremost, this type of surveillance is actually a remnant of the war on drugs. And so we see now that the civil rights concessions that happen during one era always impact the next era. But also we have to consider the fact that not everybody comes forward. A lot of times when law enforcement engages in practices like this, one of the consequences is that people are then afraid to come forward and assert their rights. And so we know, like I said, four and then ours, so a total of five. That's how many we know of, but that's not necessarily indicative of how many times this is actually happening.
It seems like the interest, in quotes, from the FBI, actually increased after he put the picture on the internet and contacted an attorney. It's like they kind of stepped up their efforts.
Exactly. And I mean, there's also sort of a shaming that goes into this, right, is that a lot of people sometimes wonder, well, if law enforcement is interested in me, then does that mean that I'm a criminal, or will this impact my associations? And so that's another reason that people don't want to come forward, because they're afraid that they will be looked at differently.
So let's talk about the lawsuit that was filed. I'm wondering, because it is legal in California to do what the FBI did. Is that right?
Right. Correct. So there was a decision from the Ninth Circuit last year that essentially said, that law enforcement is able to place tracking devices on cars without a warrant. And it was a very problematic decision, and that's the one that I mentioned comes from the war on drugs. In the D.C. Circuit, however, the courts there have said that a warrant is required for this type of search. And so it's the circuits are in conflict, and it seems to be sort of a gray area of law. It's our assertion that, you know, the FBI is based in D.C., that the policies and guidelines that they sort of enable agents to utilize are sort of made and then housed in D.C., and that a lot of times the directives in terms of who to look into and who to investigate come from D.C., and so it is appropriate to file there. And that's our assertion. I think it's an interesting case because it specifically goes to the question of this disagreement between the circuits, because in the Ninth Circuit where it happened, it is legal, but in the D.C. Circuit where these policies are promulgated, it is not legal.
When you first got the phone call from Yasser, what was your reaction?
You know, so actually, I'd first heard of the story from Gizmodo Australia about 2 days before I'd actually come into contact with Yasser. So I'd heard about it before the FBI visited him, and the story had already gone viral because he'd posted it online, and people had taken sort of a really increased interest in it. At that point, we didn't know he was Arab American, we didn't know he was Muslim, but also we didn't know that he was in our backyards. And I found it to be really appalling. And at the same time, I appreciated the fact that, you know, an individual citizen had sort of caught the FBI in their own mistake, right, in placing the tracking device so recklessly and using such a bulky device, and then just the fact that, you know, he didn't know what to do with it. And it was sort of, it was intriguing and amusing at the same time. He walked into our office 2 days later, and, you know, and I think we were just really concerned that this was a young man who nothing in his background would indicate that he's a national security concern and that the FBI is engaging in this type of surveillance. And essentially, like, I mean, doing two things. One, wasting taxpayer dollars on what some might call shenanigans around individuals who are clearly not guilty of anything, and then also undermining the trust in the community. Because what happens as a result of this is that everyone wants to look under their car to see if they're being tracked by law enforcement, and that's a reasonable concern. But also, everyone is now afraid to call law enforcement if, you know, they have a legitimate concern, because they don't know if they're putting themselves in danger. They don't know how they'll be treated.
Now, I imagine you would like this case to be sort of to set a precedent of some sort. And I wonder what you would like that precedent to be, or how you would like things to change as a result of it.
So we're really hoping that, one, particularly with respect to Mr. Afifi, that this will prevent any further illegal surveillance of him or his activities. And then we're also hoping that the D.C. Circuit will make a strong declaration that this type of surveillance is illegal, that the courts there will come down consistent with their decisions in the past. And I think it would be interesting to see how the circuits, and a lot of people have even speculated that whether it's this case or the next, that this is a question that may end up before the Supreme Court someday.